Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Common Room Conversations. My name is Chris White.
And I am Brendan White, and it is good to be back, ladies and gentlemen, after about a week and a half, 2 weeks break.
Yeah, we took a week. When we were going to record last week, I woke up, and I text Brendan, and I was like, so, kind of woke up with a cough, and my nose is real stuffy, so probably shouldn't do it this week.
Yeah, and yeah, no, it was a good call.
Yeah, so, but I'm perfectly fine. Yeah. Took one day and we're all good. But we did throw out a little bonus episode last week. So we gave you guys the access to the Don't Look Up trailer, which was exclusive for subscribers over on Anchor. And I threw it out as an episode for everyone to kind of get a little bit of a taste of what we give our subscribers for free.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen Don't Look Up, guys, I highly recommend it. I just watched it last night, and it holds up. It's a great movie. It's very funny, and it was just a brilliant movie in general.
It's still on my watch list. I love movies, but my attention span, I just can't sometimes. So
you're not finished with Star Wars yet.
Yeah, well, yeah. I took a break from Star Wars.
Oh, did you?
I actually started watching Dynasty today, actually. And I'm almost done with season one of Dynasty. I'm like 11 episodes in, all day, just sat there. And they're 45-minute long episodes.
That's crazy.
It's been a day. But this week we have a few things to talk about. Because we took a week off, we of course have a lot to talk about. I already had 2 weeks of stuff blocked in because we had already taken a week off before. So we already were a little bit behind. So now we're really behind. So this week we're going to be talking about the new Nicolas Cage movie, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. We're going to be talking about The Bad Guys, which is a DreamWorks animation movie, which we've talked about in the podcast a little bit with confusion on that movie. The Big Gold Brick and
Talk
The
about
Lost
a ball
City.
Of confusion with that one.
And The Lost City. And then on our bonus episode that you can go ahead and find over on Anchor, we're going to be giving some real spoilers.
Massive spoiler warning, guys. And so if you don't want to have it spoiled, I mean, by the time this episode's out, I don't feel as bad because the movie's already been out for 2 weeks. I won't feel as bad. But, you know, we'll be talking about Spider-Man No Way Home, the record-breaking movie and the highest rated audience score movie on Rotten Tomatoes in history remain that way.
It was phenomenal. And I'm so excited to be talking about that over on Anchor. As our subscriber exclusive episode, but I think we just hop right into it.
So the first movie we're going to be talking about today, guys, is The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which comes out on April 22nd, 2022. So not too far away. We got
3 months.
Four
months. Yes.
Yeah, four. You just made me question myself there. Yep. I was like, wait, I know my months. I gotta admit when Chris threw this idea out to talk about this movie, I had no fucking idea what this movie was or was about. I watched a trailer for it, and I, like, right from just seeing the clickbait for the movie and seeing Pedro Pascal and Nicolas Cage in the same scene, I was like, oh my god, I already like this movie a lot. Yep. And watching the trailer made me want to see this movie very badly.
Yeah. Nick Cage definitely just has, like, I don't know, it's very rare to find a movie with him, sometimes I feel. But every movie you see is like, it's the shit. It's so good.
He's had so many, especially lately. What was that one that just like came out not too long? I think it was either 2019 or 2020. It was one that was like, he was like Willy's Arcade or something. It was almost like a horror movie kind of thing. But it was
he did Mandy.
He did Mandy, and then he did another one. It was like something Willy's Arcade. Let me see if I can pull that up real quick, because I saw that and I laughed and thought, wow, that's gonna be ridiculous, and I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah. Well, what I mean when I say it's hard to find him, in like big money movies is what I feel like. I feel like he's
as of late. Yeah.
But this seems like it's got a lot of budget pumped into it. It's got an all-star cast, and I'm friggin' excited.
Yeah, I am as well. I'm very excited for this movie.
Pulling up the information. Color Space, is that what you're thinking of?
No, I don't know.
Because that was a recent movie as well.
No, I don't know. I don't know why it's on here. Can't seem to find it. But I'm also excited too that because Nick Cage is such a diverse actor with any role he plays in. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be very refreshing and interesting to see him playing himself.
Yeah.
And it seems as though, like, even in the trailer, like, maybe he even, like, had a part and a hand in writing his own, like, lines for the movie, because it seems a lot of, like, the lines are his own, and, like, how he actually would conversate with some people, so, especially with the line when he comments on his own grotesque statue of himself, his statue of himself that Pedro Pascal owns. It's like a wax model, and he's like, it's so grotesque, I'll give you $20,000 for it.
So here's one thing that I when I was doing my research, I found out, but I wasn't going to talk about it because I was like, I don't need to. But I feel like I should bring this up now. But the director is Tom Gormikin. I don't know how to say his name. I always screw him up. And this is only his second director thing. But he actually wrote the movie. And him writing this movie was, the reason he wrote it was because he was trying to save his career. This was kind of like his last straw to grasp onto a career and not lose it. And, you know, it wasn't going to be made. He just kind of wrote it as a test to what he can do to show people. And it ended up actually causing a bidding war between three studios of who wanted this movie, because they wanted this made and they thought it was such a great script.
Which is going to be incredible to see, too. And especially because right off the bat, you see, you know, you got the two leads. You got Pedro Pascal, which is as of recent, he's been blowing up. Yeah. Because he was in the Kings. He was, 2017, he was in the Kingsman, the Golden Circle. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, now we know him as Mando.
Mandalorian.
Yeah. And he's just a phenomenal actor all around. And then you got him and acting aside, Nick Cage as himself. You got in the trailer, you have Neil Patrick Harris. And and we don't even know who else will officially be in this movie. Like, there's could be more announcements, and then
there's
like
a
more
lot
people
of cameos.
Yeah, there's gonna be.
I know that Quentin Tarantino is, you know, confirmed.
Really?
Yes. Well, the summary of the movie. Speaking of Quentin Tarantino, a cash-strapped Nicolas Cage agrees to make a paid appearance at a billionaire's superfan's birthday party, but is really an informant for the CIA, since the billionaire fan is a drug kingpin. And gets cast in a Tarantino movie.
Interesting.
So, it's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, especially with all these cameos that will be in this movie are kind of like, I'm going to talk about it again. Don't Look Up. It's giving me those kind of vibes. That movie had an unbelievable amount of just like cameos inside, like supporting characters from A-listers. And I feel like as though we might be seeing a lot of that in this movie as well.
Yeah, there was a whole list that I had hold up, but I didn't write them all down because I was like, we're not gonna talk about it. We won't talk. But Nicolas Cage was actually against the idea of playing himself, even as a cameo in any movie. He turned down several offers prior to this, but you know, he changed his mind after he read a letter from the writer Tom Gormikin, that was attached to the script. And you know, of course, like I said before, this was kind of Tom's last thing to save his career was this movie, and I'm sure that note definitely had some heartfelt messages to it. But this movie, like many things we've seen in present day, actually was supposed to take place in New York in the first act, and then move into Mexico in the second and third. But as we've seen with this present day, we've got the pandemic to thank for that.
Yeah, especially in New York, too. New York is one of the hot spots for this virus. Yeah. And so they're taking a vacation there.
So this movie is... The whole movie takes place in Hungary. Because it has to. And, you know, that also has its own separate group of issues, because certain cameos that were supposed to happen weren't able to because of the relocation.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe Sandra Bullock was one of those that was supposed to be in this. But because of it moving to Hungary, she was not able to do that.
I mean, also on that top topic, but Sandra Bullock, of course, we're going to talk about her in The Lost City. It could also have been scheduling conflicts, because she is literally the main character in The Lost City.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, because like, she could travel to New York, but traveling to Hungary was non-existent.
Yeah, it's
so
a grip.
It's a lot different of a travel.
just a few 100,000 miles in a few hours.
Yeah, just a little bit. But the director, like I've said, is Tom Gormikin.
Yep.
He has 2 director credits. One is this, and the other one is That Awkward Moment, which was in 2014.
That title sounds so familiar, and I cannot think of what
it had. Michael
is.
B. Jordan, and...
Oh, is that the one with Miles Teller, Zac Efron, and Michael B. Jordan?
Yes,
okay, that's the movie. That I saw a little bit of that before, but I didn't see the whole thing.
But yeah, that's his only other acting credit, directing credit that he has.
Really?
So
wow.
It'll be a nice thing to see. I'm definitely looking forward to it. It looks a lot of fun.
Yeah, it does. It does look a lot of fun. Because I love all the humor and believe it or not, I would go back to piggyback off what you said a little a few minutes ago with how Nick Cage has always refused to portray himself and is skeptical about that. Nick Cage is one of those actors you see. You know, he wants to play all these difficult roles. He wants to show how much of a peacock he is.
Yeah, how versatile
and how versatile he is. Because you know, you watch one Nick Cage movie, you're not gonna see the same Nick Cage he did in National. Nope. You're not gonna see the same Nick Cage in Face Off as you're gonna see in any of the National Treasures and at all. And I did find it. Willy's Wonderland was the name. It's on Hulu exclusive. Okay. So, and that, you're not going to see the same Nick Cage you see in Con Air as in Willy's Wonderland. He wants
or
to
play in Mandy.
Those, or Mandy. No, because he wants to stay versatile.
Yep.
And he never wants to play himself because he's just himself. He's not as exciting these characters. He wants to always try and incorporate and play. But it is, like I said, it's going to be nice and refreshing to really just see him portray himself. And just give this movie his all. And add his own little Nick Cage flair to it.
Yeah, there was a scene in the movie that where him and this drug kingpin, which I think is Pedro Pascal's character.
I think so.
It looks like they're acting out a scene. It's like where they're climbing over a wall. It looks like they're acting that out, but then also could be...
So I think they were tripping.
Oh,
I think they're tripping, and then he's like they're coming out, after us. He's like crying. He's like, I'm not gonna leave. I'll never forget you. And he hops over the wall. And he just walks around. He's like, hey, we could have just walked over. It turns out, Mr. Cage. Oh, okay.
Okay, so you're thinking it was.
So
drugs.
I think they're tripping because then you see he has that little bottle that, and then next scene Nick Cage is like, woo, at a party. He's like air humping someone, and then it goes between that and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Could be excruciatingly long. Bad trip.
Gotcha. So that kind of explains that to me. Hopefully that is correct.
Yeah. There's my first prediction for the movie. I'm kind of on a roll with predictions for movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
On the podcast. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. I'll just have to remind myself that that's what I'll predict in this
movie.
I'm
going to be honest. This is probably a movie that I will see in theaters.
I will easily see this movie in theaters. Because the cast is so phenomenal. And I've been going to the movies a lot, and I'm gonna probably be seeing Spider-Man for a third time coming up. And I love the atmosphere going back to the scene, going to the movies and everything. It's just so great. I still have to see Nightmare Alley.
I got
Underdog.
Super lucky. I went to the theater twice now to see Spider-Man, and when I bought my tickets, I kind of try to strategically buy it to where I'm not around people. And I've been so lucky that I've had no one sitting next to me. Both times.
Which is weird because both times I went, it was insane because the first night I went opening night, my girlfriend and I, and we were in the front row.
Yeah.
And then the next time we went, I was like, oh, I bought tickets and there was nobody in the theater. And then by the time we got to the theater, it was packed.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to, this movie is going to be out. Okay. We'll talk about this later because I'm going to get on a roll talking about Spider-Man, but yeah. So again, April 22nd, 2022, guys. Unbelievable Weight of Massive Talent. Be sure to go check that out because it looks great. And we were going to check it out as well.
This movie also comes out on the same day as our next movie. The Bad Guys are coming April 22nd, 2022. Same day as The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
So it's going to be a kind of a battle for the box office for this yeah. weekend.
Well, they're different. So The Bad Guys is animated.
Yep.
And we know animated movies are far and few between. So typically animated movies stay in theaters a little bit longer just because there's not too much kid content that gets released. So they tend to stay in box office for a while. So we'll probably see that in theaters probably about 2 months where Unbearable Weight will probably last about a month, depending on how good it does in box office.
I don't even see The Bad Guys lasting 2 months of being on, maybe a month and a half, only because the month after we get Doctor Strange 2.
Well, but that's different. So there's always going to be an animated movie in theaters. Whether it gets in theaters and just has one or two showings a day, it'll stay there for 2 months. because when I worked at the theater, we always had horrible animated movies, but we had to have them to give kids options of what to see because they didn't have much that got released.
Yeah, it's fair.
So it might only have 2 showings a day in a theater.
Yeah.
But it'll stay in theaters for months.
Yep.
Until the next best thing comes out, and then it'll be right out the door.
Exactly.
And the next thing will move in. But the summary of this movie, Mr. Wolf, Mr. Snake, Mr. Piranha, Mr. Shark, and Miss Tarantula hatch a plot to pull off the ultimate heist.
I hate spiders.
But the spider is voiced by Awkwafina.
Yeah, whatever.
So you can't really hate the spider.
Yeah, conflicted feelings now.
The spider is real cute in that onesie, I will say.
No, fuck that. Fuck that hard.
But this is actually, speaking of Awkwafina, this is her 5th animated movie. She was in Storks in 2016.
Yep.
She did the Angry Birds movie 2 in 2019. The SpongeBob movie, Sponge on the Run, which was a Paramount Plus exclusive. And she also did Raya and the Last Dragon.
Which was on Disney Plus, right? That came out on Disney Plus, really?
Yes.
So she's been Awkwafina has been doing so much with Disney lately, especially because now she's in
the MCU.
But
this isn't Disney. This is DreamWorks.
No, this isn't, but I'm saying is Universal. With Raya and the Last Dragon, that's like, same year, two major Disney projects, as Ray and the Last Dragon was very well received, and so was Shang-Chi.
Yeah. So, I still haven't seen Ray and the Last Dragon.
I haven't either. I didn't have any interest in it, but either. people highly praise it, so I mean, if I'm bored one day, maybe I'll watch it.
Yeah. But Craig Robinson is also in this.
Love Craig Robinson so much.
And this is his second DreamWorks animated film.
Yeah, he was in the Shrek Forever After, right?
Yep, Shrek Forever After in 2010, so 12 years prior.
He's been doing other things, making his cameos in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, his Pizza Hut commercials.
Killing it. And this is DreamWorks Animation's 42nd theatrical release.
Wow, Jesus Christ.
42 theatrical movies from DreamWorks. Some of the best movies out there.
We better get the most unbelievable movie for the 50th. We better get the most insane. I want a multiversal movie of every single character.
Every single character they've ever had.
Every DreamWorks movie in one movie. Yeah. And it's going to be 4.5 hours long and it's just going to be nuts. It's
true.
That's what I want to see for the 50th. That
it has to happen now.
It has to. You're DreamWorks. Spoken. Come on, DreamWorks. They're not listening to our podcast.
No, definitely not. Okay, so let's kind of break down a little bit of the trailer. So, it seems like in the beginning, they are the bad guys. No pun intended.
I'm the bad.
I loved that. The instant that Billie Eilish's bad guy popped up. Was so good.
I knew Ozzy just right from my type in the trailer. I was like, I'm going to hear Billie Eilish, aren't I? I know it's going to happen.
It starts off with them doing this heist. It's giving Ocean's 11 vibes. They're over here trying to steal something from a gala. And then it kind of transitions into them trying to turn their lives around. And their mission is to go and break into an animal testing facility and help all of the guinea pigs escape. Easy, right?
Yeah.
And then they send the snake in first. And what is that happens? The snake opens the door, and every single guinea pig is inside of the snake's stomach. Because he just ate them all.
Delicious.
And he went, they're in a better place now, as he's rubbing his stomach.
Sick bastard.
And then,
snake.
Later in the trailer, we see the same guinea pigs running through the streets, but it looks like they've been, kryptonited, kind of. Their eyes are glowing blue. And it's like, what happened from snake stomach to running through the streets like you've got some kind of poison running through your vein?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw it too and I was like, wait, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
I was like, wait.
It kind of just jumped very quickly.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell? I didn't even know what to make of it.
No. There's a lot of story missing.
Yeah, I feel like we need another trailer before it comes out. I'm sure we'll get one, but we need another trailer to come out before the release of this movie. Yeah. So I could be like, oh, okay, that's how those fucking glowing eyed guinea pigs got there. Ah.
Oh, they fell into a boiling vat of toxic waste. Yeah, oh, all right. Okay, that makes sense.
Oh, now we get it.
Yeah, but we didn't get that. So we'll see in the future. But it looks really cool. I love the animation to it.
Yeah, well, DreamWorks never fails in their animation styles. No,
definitely not. It gives off a different vibe feel than DreamWorks animation movies because it's like they're robbers. And I feel like that's not something that we've seen from DreamWorks. Yeah, in the actually, past.
What the hell, DreamWorks? You're kind of bad influencing kids well, here now.
It's owned by Universal now, so they're getting edgier.
You know what? Yeah, they are. They don't give a shit. It's not, yeah. Just like they said when we were on vacation, this ain't Disney. I don't got to be nice to the kids.
Yep. But I was expecting this movie to not be PG. With the title of it and the theme to it, I was like, this got to be 13, PG-13 or something. This has to be given some swears in it.
Maybe, but they can also get away with, like, as we've seen in Shrek, you know, they can get away with some words such as, like, ass, and like, jackass and ass. Sometimes.
I feel like they could only do jackass in Shrek because ass is technically another name for a donkey. I think that's the only way they were able to get
but,
I
mean,
with that.
I mean, you never know.
There's no donkey on this team.
Not yet. Not yet. We haven't seen the
are
rest
we,
of the
Are we
trailers.
Getting a donkey cameo?
We might. We might. If I see Eddie Murphy pop up as Donkey, I might get a little more excited.
They're
going to
get lost
multiverse.
And end up in a swamp.
Imagine.
But I think I'll see this. I don't know if in theaters.
I'll probably wait to see if it comes on like Paramount Plus or something.
It's owned by DreamWorks. Universal.
So it won't be on Paramount.
Which Universal is Peacock.
Okay, yeah, so, you know what, I'll probably end up watching on Peacock.
So, we'll see if they release it to Peacock. Because I don't know, does Peacock release movies right after they've been released, or do you have to
A lot of times, I mean, I know for, they did Halloween, the second Halloween movie, it was in theaters, but you could also buy it on Peacock.
Yeah, buying on is a little, that's a little cringe.
It's like Paramount Plus and everything, it's like, just pay an extra for the price.
But I just don't like it. Like, when Disney did it, that was such, like, an outrage. They were trying to charge $30 for you to just
watch. Oh, no, it's a huge outrage, especially because the two big movies they did that with was Black Widow and Mulan, and they both were garbage.
Yeah.
I hated both of those movies.
Yep. I haven't even watched Mulan, because I just can't.
It was not worth it at all. Yeah. I heard crappy things about it, and then I watched 20 minutes of it, I was like, why did I watch even 10 minutes of this movie? It's not good.
Well, that was like when I started watching Moana. I didn't even get like five minutes in. I had to turn it off.
You're whack for that.
I couldn't.
I love Moana. Did you ever finish Moana?
No.
What the? What can I say except you're welcome. Great movie.
Welcome if you didn't do that again. No. But yeah, I've never finished it. I've seen like bits and pieces, like the Shiny song. But I just can't.
That part's funny.
I can't be asked to sit and watch it. I don't think I've ever even seen Brave. I don't know. It's something about a movie that starts off with like a story map that I just can't do. Because Brave started out with that.
Yeah.
And so did Moana. When that happens, I'm like, fuck this shit. I'm out. I can't.
Brave was good. I like Brave. But
yeah, maybe someday. I know the whole story to it. Exactly, I just can't watch it physically. But yeah, the bad guys we'll definitely see. Just not in theaters.
Yeah, no, I won't.
After the fact.
And the next movie we're going to be talking about is, I gotta fucking say, it's very, very confused.
It's a drug trip. Somebody took some LSD and wrote a movie.
And it got greenlit. The Big Gold Brick. Sorry, not the, just Big Gold Brick.
Yeah.
Which is also very odd to me because I was just incredibly...
Incredibly confused
during this movie, and I don't know, because it looks like it could be good. It's got an all-star cast with Andy Garcia, Megan Fox, Lucy Hale,
Oscar Isaac.
I thought I saw Oscar Isaac.
Yeah,
and it's, I was like, what in the hell is going on in this movie? Like, I was baffled by it when I was watching the trailer, and I just couldn't wrap my head around it. If you want to read the summary, because I just...
Big Gold Brick recounts the story of fledgling writer Samuel Liston and his experiences with Floyd DeVox, the enigmatic
Floyd Devereaux. Looks like that.
Yeah, sure. The enigmatic, middle-aged father of two, who enlists Samuel to write his biography. But the circumstances that led up to this arrangement in the first place are quite astonishing, and efforts to write the biography are quickly stymied by ensuing chaos in his darkly comedic genre binding film. I can't speak English ever.
Yeah, the movie as a whole does look dark. And it looks like not only that, but like it could look like dark and witty. Because, you know, we see in like the trailer, especially when we get like from the trailer, you know, he's talking to his son and he's like, "What you got there, boy?" "Dead rabbit, of course." And he's like, "Oh, okay." And then right after that, like literally a split second, like a snap of fingers, it sees that kid in front of a burning like treehouse smiling like he fucking started a treehouse fire.
Yeah.
So right off the bat, you got a sadistic and like satanic little problem child. Mm-hmm. And Lucy Hale looks like she could be a problem as well. Like, oh, yeah. Maybe, like, some sort of mental disability or a mental illness that she could have. And then you have Megan Fox, who looks as though she could have married... the main character is Andy Garcia, right? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, who married Andy Garcia for his money. And because then she comes on to Samuel Liston. You see she's in the lingerie and she's, like, laying on the bed while he's, like, he walks in on her.
Yeah.
It's like she was waiting for him. So... This movie just looks incredibly fucked up.
Yeah, there was this guy in like a black trench coat that had like green glowing eyes.
Yeah.
And it looked like he was running through like a supermarket. And it happened like several times in the trailer. And I was like, what is happening?
And that happened, and then when you see Oscar Isaac in the trailer, and it looks like it's like a culty like underground society,
yeah.
That I can only just picture. Like, it looks like he has like he's missing an eye. Like he's wearing glasses, but one of them is just like completely covered, and then the other one's like an eyeglasses. I was like, what the fuck is he wearing?
Definitely, he looked like another actor with the mustache, with the beard, and everything. And I can't place my finger on.
Oh, he just reminded me of the Monopoly Man, dude.
I saw him and I was like, is that Oscar Isaac?
Yeah, it's Oscar Isaac.
I know it is, but like he looked like someone else.
That's the first thing I said when I watched the trailer. I was like, oh, wow, it's Oscar Isaac, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I love Oscar Isaac. And he's got some, he's really blown up since appearing in Star Wars, mm-hmm. The Force Awakens. Because then he was in all those Star Wars movies. And then he was also in Adam's Family 1 and 2, the cartoon versions. He was in Dune. He was in that, what was that? Card movie.
Oh, it was
you counted cards.
Card Counter.
Was it Card Counter? Yeah. And now
Martin Scorsese film.
And now we're also going to be seeing him in the MCU. He's going to be playing Moon Knight when the Moon Knight series comes out on Disney Plus, which I am very excited for because I love Oscar Isaac and there's been so much hype around him, and him just being announced in this movie. Honestly, that's what really grabbed my eye. Like, really, is being able to see Oscar Isaac in this movie, especially because watching trailer, I was like, what the fuck? I was like, oh, Oscar Isaac, okay. I trust a lot of movies of Oscar Isaac, and he really hasn't had a flop.
This is it.
But no, I don't know if this will be a flop. It'll be
interesting.
I feel like if I see this,
yeah,
I will be like, okay, that was good.
It might make sense when you actually see the whole
thing. No, I'm saying it won't even make fucking sense, but I'll still for some reason like it.
Okay.
Because I can't even make any sense of this trailer.
Yeah.
The most I got from it was, okay, he's writing an autobiography.
Yeah. I understood the basic plot, but then there's him falling like through space and then that mysterious guy through the grocery store.
Yeah, but this movie just looks very confusing, and it's a movie I'm going to have to see.
I think to watch the movie you need to get on LSD. Going into the theater.
No, I feel like you'll need to get on LSD to watch Doctor Strange when that one comes out. That won't be... The first one was trippy enough. The second one, I can only imagine.
Yep.
But
some good LSD films. But the director is Brian Petsos.
Yeah, Petsos. That sounds right.
He has 6 director credits. And everything other than this is a short. So this is his first big film. And it is a doozy.
Yeah,
we'll see how it goes. I don't know. I
may see this in theaters.
Not in theaters.
I mean, there's nothing else really coming out around that time, so I mean, I guess I'm gonna have to see it in theaters
in February.
So we'll see.
I mean, we also said that about January too, but then when I sat down and looked through all the movies we've done, there's a lot coming out in January.
Yeah, no, there's a decent amount. Yeah.
We just don't put it together because our brains don't work.
Well, I mean, again, like I've said in the past, February is it's a tough one. It's a tough one for movies. February is like it's a hit or miss in the box office.
And we get movies like this. The Lost City. It's gonna be found on March 25th.
That was dumb.
2022.
Hated everything about that.
Hey, that is my main goal in life is to be dumb. But this movie looks good, actually, to be honest with you.
It looks better than I thought it was going to look.
You know, I got a little triggered in the trailer. One of the first scenes we open up to is Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum laying on the ground in a temple surrounded by fucking snakes. And I was like, oh no, I'm already fucking done with this shit.
It's Indiana Jones vibes.
And then it was like, it showed that she was a writer because she was like deleting the scene and it like disappeared in front of her eyes.
Yeah, I do like that editing style, like that editing choice. It was very well. I was like, okay, yeah, so she's a writer. That's really cool. It was really the perfect way
to explain who she is.
Exactly, yeah.
To us. But this film is about a romance writer who is played by Sandra Bullock. Sandra Bullock. and she's on tour for her new book with the cover model for the book, Channing Tatum.
Yep.
When a kidnapping is attempted, forcing her and Tatum into the jungle, proving life and love are stranger than fiction. So, yeah, she gets kidnapped and, like, held up by Daniel Radcliffe's character. She gets kidnapped by him because he thinks that the written world that she's wrote about is real.
Yeah, and he's gonna be severely disappointed in that.
So he's a little interesting of a character.
Well, I feel like his character would be very hopeful, and then coming to the realization that maybe later in the film that it was all made up and fake,
he'll be stupid.
Pissed. Yeah. He'll lose a couple screws in that old noggin of his.
But this movie also has Brad Pitt in it.
I feel as though we won't see Brad Pitt for long
in this movie. So Brad Pitt is notoriously picky about which films he appears in.
I mean, it all depends. I mean, because you know the old story of when he appeared in Deadpool 2, right? Where the only thing he demanded for his cameo in Deadpool 2 was for Ryan Reynolds to give him a cup of coffee. For Ryan Reynolds to actually deliver him the cup of coffee. That was his payment. That's all he got paid for Deadpool 2. I'm not kidding. Look it up.
There you go. But he agreed to do this film when Sandra Bullock was joking with him and said that she would get their mutual friend, George Clooney, to keep calling him every day and say, do Sandra's film until he gave in. So he quickly agreed to do it.
Yeah, I feel like you hear all these stories about how Brad Pitt, he's sometimes a hard ass with working and filming. Like like you said, he's very picky. I feel like he's also got that whimsical joking about him. Like, again, like how he had that with Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. And then he also had the thing with Ryan Reynolds for Deadpool 2. But a lot of Brad Pitt's movies, I will say, I do like. I think there's only one I've ever not liked, and it's World War Z. Mm-hmm. But I know my last film I loved with Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was one of my favorite movies of all time. It was such incredible.
But he was actually just in a movie with Sandra Bullock called The Bullet Train. I think that came out this year or last.
Bullet Train.
And she did a cameo. So she wasn't in, like, she just did a cameo. And that's how they met each other and became friends. And then it led to her asking him to do this. But this movie is actually a Paramount Pictures movie. So it's expected that it will debut on Paramount Plus about 30 to 45 days after it goes in the theaters, which is what happened with The Quiet Place 2 and Snake Eyes as well. So it's expected that that's probably going to be a thing. So I'll definitely see it on Paramount Plus. That's the plan for me.
Yeah, I don't see myself really seeing this movie in theaters, but I definitely will see it in Paramount Plus. I'll tell you one thing, I'm ruining it from the trailer for me. I did not like hearing Cake by the Ocean playing for the entirety of the trailer, and I was just like, okay, I'm not digging this. I'm not really digging this as much.
Yeah. We've had some interesting songs this week playing during trailers, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. They've spent some money on songs. That's what that tells me, is that, you know, if they're willing to spend money for songs like this, it should be a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not really, like, itching. The only reason I honestly would even see this, too, is I like Channing Tatum, I like Sandra Bullock, but honestly, it seemed like a little, like, a little too much obvious comedy with this movie. The only reason I would actually see it as the biggest appeal of this movie to me is Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah. Well, I feel also that this movie's going to have a whole different layer to it than we're really getting from the trailer.
Yeah, and the reason that is could be.
Her friend, we see very little of her friend trying to go and save her from the forest. So her friend goes and's like, I need to get to the forest and save my friend, the writer, and her cover artist. And we see her like one more time and then we don't see her. So I feel like when we actually watch the movie, there'll be a lot more of her and what she does to kind of help this story build than we're actually getting in the trailer.
Yeah, I don't know. And like thinking back to it now, it also kind of seems more of like, it seemed like Tropic Thunder kind of vibes. I don't know if you ever saw Tropic Thunder.
I don't think I did.
It's like Tropic Thunder is about they're making a movie about the war in Vietnam. It's based off a book that a veteran who allegedly fought in Vietnam wrote. And yep. They end up going into the heart of Vietnam to save the movie and film the best war movie ever. And it turns out they actually get heavily, like, deep inside, like, the hearts of Vietnam, actually, like, a drug ring in there, and they're just actors. And
interesting.
It turns out the veteran never even wrote the book was never even in the war.
Oh, fun.
So, and then, that's the kind of vibes it gives me, like, okay, this author never went to Lost City, so I'm talking about a made-up place. Okay, the author never went to Vietnam, he's in the Coast Guard, or I believe he's in the Coast Guard in the movie. And he never went overseas at all. So, it gives me that kind of vibe. And like, even, like, again, you see, like, her friend who could also probably be her agent, and she's, like, she's looking for him, for her, I mean. And in Tropic Thunder, we see Matthew McConaughey as Ben Stiller's agent, because Ben Stiller is the main character in that, and he goes looking for him in the jungles of Vietnam. So, like, just, like, some very, like similarities. Similarities in the movie.
That's very interesting. It looks good, and it gave a lot of vibes that it will be super funny, but then also some of the jokes seem like they're gonna miss their mark.
Yeah, these jokes are gonna be a hit or miss, and honestly it's gonna be a 70-30 of 70% miss and 30% hit, I think.
Yeah. But this movie has two directors. It is Aaron Nee and Adam Nee. They're brothers. So most of their directing credits are the same. Aaron has 9 credits, where Adam has 8. So he did one thing without him. But they are also directing the upcoming Masters of the Universe project, which is in pre-production, which is going to be a new He-Man project.
Oh, gotcha.
They also directed Band of Robbers in 2015 and The Last Romantic in 2006. So those are their only movies. The rest are all shorts.
Gotcha.
The rest of the project. So, you know, there's not too much from them that we can kind of cross-reference. So hopefully it turns out well.
Yeah, he's hoping.
But I don't... Definitely not a see-in-theaters kind of movie.
No, absolutely not.
Definitely I'll wait till it's on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us this week. There was quite a bit to talk about in quite a range of movies, from comedy to romance and cartoons.
Yeah, and again, yeah, and this was, you know, one of our shorter episodes. Yeah. Really hit the mark with a lot we had to talk about. Because, you know, these trailers, they show us a lot, but they don't show us as much as we've had in the past. Yeah.
Usually I have a huge list of notes for everything that, like, has several bullet points for each movie. I have no bullet points for anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's harder to do with some of these movies, especially because we don't have a second trailer here for Lost City. You know, a lot of these trailers, like, quite literally just came out.
Yeah, we just got trailers for them.
So
recently.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to do.
It is very hard to do.
But if you guys want to hear us talking a lot about Spider-Man No Way Home, you can find us over on Anchor anchor.fm/crconvo. You can find our exclusive episodes over there for our Anchor subscribers. Also, you can listen to the past exclusive episodes. We talked about Nightmare Alley and Don't Look Up. So you can find those from the past. If you want a little idea of what those episodes look like, the episode we released last week will kind of give you a little bit of a taste of what they consist of. But if you guys want to follow me, you can find me over on Twitter at Chris White with 2 T's.
You find me over at Brennan White 3 over on Twitter.
And then if you want to follow the podcast, it is at CR Convo. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We will see you guys next week.
Thank you very much.
Bye.